testing.
Yep, we're on.
Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here this morning. If you're like me, we've gotten out this weekend and enjoyed this cool weather for the month of August, which is very unusual. I enjoyed it. I even got up early and went for a walk. But get me up early on Saturday. It's got to be something. But we're just glad you made it out this morning. First-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors this morning? I didn't see any. So, does he want to introduce himself? Again, welcome. Announcements. Don't forget, this Saturday is Tommy's wedding. It is at 1 o'clock. Please let Joyce or the office know if you plan on attending. If Tommy was here, I was going to ask him. One last Sunday is a single man, but I don't see him. So, but please, if you would like to attend, the dress is casual. So let's show our support to Tommy, especially for all that he has done for our youth in the church. Everybody come and support him.
Wedding will be outside in the back.
Okay.
The church reception will be here in the fellowship hall.
Okay. Okay. There will be no youth today. I think Susan is coming back into town today, isn't she? Yeah. Clothing sale. The clothing sale is going to be the last week of this month. Sheila does need people to help set up and work, so please get in touch with Sheila, Gary, if you can help with the clothing sale. The Children's Sunday and the annual picnic is the 29th, which is 3 weeks from today. Yes. Hamburgers and hot dogs will be provided. Please bring side dishes, and it will be outside, so please make sure bring your lawn chairs and blankets and stuff. The horse show is this coming Saturday down here. I think our youth has got a booth. Food booth. Yeah. Okay. That's all the announcements. Are there others that we need to mention?
There's Donald Griggs, a renowned, whatever that means, Christian educator, will be at West Nashville on the 29th after our picnic. So, Donald Griggs will be at West Nashville. If you just want to go and learn about teaching, and there, I think it's kind of explained in the bulletin, you're welcome to go. We need to know by next Monday so we can get you registered. And the church, there is a fee, but the church will pay the fee if you will go. So you need to tell Julie Beaumar, she's not here today, but they will be back. They went to a wedding in East Tennessee or North Carolina, and they will be back Monday tonight, I think. Or call me, or call Joyce at the office. If you want to go to participate, I think it's a 5-hour workshop. And Mr. Griggs is going all over our denomination to help teachers and prospective teachers. And if you want to participate in that, let us know. The church will pay the fee, and hopefully you'll be blessed. We always say hopefully, because somebody might go and say that we're not blessed. But that is probably the best in the Christian education that we know about.
Right. Are there other announcements?
Teresa?
Yes.
I just want to highlight that the World Vision Collection going on in the North Act, you can drop money in and drop votes in for what kind of animal you'd like to purchase to send to a third world family through World Vision.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't notice these announcements. Session originally set for today will be rescheduled. Okay.
Don't let them have four. Everybody's on
vacation. Okay. Please be sure and register your attendance on the pads that have been passed out. Have they been passed out? They have. Are you the man in charge of that now? You're not, but you just know they've been passed. Okay. When I see heads shake, I know we're taken care of. Prayer request. Are there prayer requests? One I know of is Sandy Johnson.
Sandy in the hospital at Watts, may be released. Mr. Bob Smith, a neighbor right down the road, passed away Friday evening. He's a member of the Lions Club, and he's a member of the Coffee Drinkers Club, better known as the Liars Club. Super great guy, a good Christian man, but he passed away about 6 years. Also, Louis Russell's dad, Mr. William Wiley, 94 years old, passed away yesterday morning about 5 o'clock. And there's four members of the Sunshine Committee here. Who else knows the Sunshine Committee? Three right here together, Sherry back here. And so they'll take care of that. And the funeral visitation is from 2 until Williamson Memorial Chapel, Mac Hatcher in Columbia,
okay.
And the funeral's tomorrow at 1, I believe, 1 o'clock. The funeral's tomorrow at 1 o'clock at that place.
At the funeral home.
At the funeral home. Mr. Bob Smith, and some of the Lions Club members know him, his funeral will be at 11 at Hickory Chapel, and the visitation is this afternoon after 1. Both of them were devoted Christian men. One was one of us, and one was the good Baptist.
Are there others? No, I did not. Okay. Okay.
A friend of mine that graduated with Mindy Hank was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Nora Von Danzo's mother went through the surgery fine, and they are still up there. Nora went to New York. That's where she lives. Donna and Angelina went, and they are coming back this week sometime. Donna, your mom, we haven't heard a word from her.
She's in intensive rehabilitation in Baltimore and recouping some of what she lost.
Jim Finley's mom is just there.
Yeah.
She's in the hospice.
Also, this time of the year, we need to start praying for our college students who will be going away to college. So we need to pray for them as they leave. Are there others? Please remember those that we have just mentioned, those that are on our prayer list. Please, again, continue to remember our armed services, wherever they may be stationed. If you could just bow your heads for a moment of silence. Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins, please. Give thanks to the Lord and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to God and speak of all His marvelous works. Glory. You want to do it, Lane? I do that. Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. It's for the Lord and continuing to speak His praise. If I didn't think Larry could take it, I wouldn't have said that. That was just too good, Larry.
That hurt.
You just felt compelled.
If you turn in your hymnals to page 515, Since Jesus Came Into My Heart, let's all stand and sing all three verses, please.
pray. Lord God, we do come remembering when Jesus first came into our hearts. And Father, we just thank you that He came to abide. That He wasn't just for a short visit, but He came for eternity. And Lord, we thank you this morning that we can reflect on that initial experience, but that we can just rest in your continued presence with us and hope in our future with you, our eternity with you. Lord, we come to offer praise to you. We come to give glory to your name. We come to do that in many ways, especially by looking at your word and letting your word speak to us. And Father, we pray for this entire service today that truly we can glorify you. Through Jesus Christ, we pray, who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God this morning by the statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnals, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Turning your hymnal to 422. No, not one. We'll do 1, 2, and 5. Thank you.
We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time? Before I get Casey up here to read the scripture for us.
Has Timothy been here before? He has first-time visitors. You been here before, Timothy? You have not. Adam, would you like to stand up and introduce your cousin that's came to church with you this morning? Well, Timothy, we're glad you're here with us this morning. And you tell Ma I treated you good, okay?
His grandmother is my boss at work, so. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Matthew 5, 13 through 16, and will be read by Casey Duncan.
Morning. Our scripture lesson comes from Matthew 5:13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt is lost, it is saltless. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled by man. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and gives it light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
I have an announcement to make. Next Sunday, I'm going to be out of town, and we have a guest speaker. And I urge you to give your support, not to him only, but to him and to the kingdom of God. I'm going to go home and participate in a reunion of high schoolers. We were high schoolers. And I'm going to do the wedding and leave real quick and try to get there in time for supper at my home area. So pray for my safety and protection every way. I don't plan to speed. I can make it without speeding. And I have too many warnings anyway. The preacher will be the rector, an Episcopalian, and they call their preachers rector at a certain level, and he is retired now, and he is working with the small congregation that's meeting here. The small congregation that's meeting here, most of them are Episcopalian, and they have some of them have worshiped with us here, and he was formerly at St. Matthias Church down on Nolanville Road, and I believe it's Ocala, and that church is now a Korean church, and in the afternoon, I believe it's a Spanish church, but they have two churches going on, both of them Episcopalian, and he is semi-retired and working with this group, and he has agreed to preach next Sunday. And never heard him preach, but I've participated with him in a funeral. If he's more formal than us, that's okay too. That's their way. We've been visiting a lot together and eating a lot together, and they are more formal in their worship. But he will be amongst us, and he will act as we do, like when you're in Rome, you do as Romans do, right? And that we've been told that. So I wanted to warn you about that. Or where will I be next week? And I'm not off looking at another church. I'm sorry. Some people say, "Oh no," and I joke about that too. But I know that's always a possibility. Somebody's saying, "Well, when is he going?" So we will not doing that next week. But so my family is going to stay here too. So I'm going, and then I'm going to go visit my mom Sunday and Monday. Let's talk about giving glory to God, and I hope you got a handout sheet. Did they get out? And if so, I don't think we will finish these today. I think I'd rather preach half of this sermon today and half of it 2 weeks from today. Because in the other, oh, we can go on and on and on, could we not? Other ways. And you may think of, in the next 2 weeks, think of ways that you can glorify God, and you may share those. Now, I went to a funeral the other day, and I had part of the family to write down some things about the deceased, because I didn't know the deceased. Their pastor was out of town, and I agreed to go, and if the person died, that I would conduct the funeral, and she did die, and I did conduct the funeral. So I had the family to write things down. See, a daughter, a son, somebody else, I forgot. Another son told me some things, just short. He didn't have much to say. The other daughter didn't feel like writing anything, but anyhow. So I read that, but preceding reading it, I said, "Now, when I finish reading this, I will give you opportunity, any of the rest of you opportunity, to say something concerning the deceased to remember." And then when I got to that point, I forgot it. We drove, we had to complete the funeral, drove to Springfield for the interment, burial. Coming back from Springfield on I-24, I got almost back to the north loop of Old Hickory Boulevard, and it hit me. "Larry, you never gave those people opportunity to say anything, the rest of them." I assumed that they would think that I was the biggest liar around. The other part is that I could assume that if they had wanted to say anything, they'd have said, "I've got something to say," but they didn't. So I say all that to say that I may forget 2 weeks from now to give you opportunity to say how people can glorify God and how maybe you have experienced that. So if you do 2 weeks from now want to say something, have something to say, would you raise your hand if I forget to ask? Okay? And if I don't forget to ask, I just encourage you to be ready if you'd like to. Everything is an opportunity here again. We're not twisting any arms. Want to continue giving glory to God or talking about giving glory to God. Last week we started and I told you that I leaned heavily on Licata's book, It's Not About Me, It's About Giving Glory to God. And he's written extensively for me, a little thin book, about how different areas of life can give glory to God. Well, I'm not following him today. Selected scriptures that point up different areas of our life or different things, I guess, that would give glory to God or how we may go about giving glory to God. Basically, last Sunday I feel that we just, I tried to establish the fact that we are created to give glory to God. That is our top priority, or it should be. We were created to give glory to God. God calls His people throughout His Word to give glory to Himself, and He calls His angels to give glory to Him. And He sent His Son into the world, who's actually Himself coming, if you see Jesus being God incarnate, God in a human form, or God incarnate in Jesus. And I do, and I think you do. His Son, Jesus, came to give glory to God the Father. And some of these we can mention later, like the miracles. And we'll see some scripture verses that say that these miracles were to bring glory to God. Our highest purpose, what's your greatest aim in life, what's your number one priority, what's your chief end, our chief end, our number one priority ought to be, God wants it to be, God has planned it so, to give glory to God. Now you might take that and weigh it in the balances and see where that fits in my life. I'm talking about saying that to yourself. Where does that fit in my life? Don't you look at me, please. I need to do that. Introspection. Look inside and see how well we are fulfilling our calling as God's people. In our lesson today, the last phrase, last verse, we are called to let others see our good deeds. Now, there must be a balance here. Somebody, I have had a friend that he would do some good deeds and he would just tell everybody. One time I was wanting to explain to the people how busy I was. So I wrote a newsletter article. And I described one day in my life, and it was probably one of the busiest days, or one week in my life, maybe it was. And this was some time ago. And I typed that up, or got it put in the newsletter, and one of my preacher friends said, "What are you trying to do, Larry? Let them know that you're really working?" Okay. I was trying to say, I don't know what I was trying to say, just say, "Whew, maybe I'm tired or something." And I do get tired, and we do get tired. But this friend would tell every good deed. He was a chaplain, I think, for 26 organizations. and that may be stretching it a little bit, but he would tell you how many organizations he was a chaplain for and how many hospital visits or sick calls that he made to the members of these organizations. And maybe it was four organizations, but embellished a bit there, did I not? But he was he enjoyed it, and he enjoyed telling about it. And some people thought he was tooting his own horn, as you've heard it, or bragging on himself. And he may have been, but he may have been saying, folks, I need some help. Come on along with me. You never know what prompts a person to do something. So, here we're called. He was following the Scriptures. Let others, well, the Scripture don't say let others hear about, does it? It said let others see, if you want to get real literal here. Let others see our good works. They can see what we're doing. Let others see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Another version of this, another version of this verse, I guess the King James would say this, and I think that's the one I looked up, just to be sure. Let others see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. So through our good works, we can glorify God. And that's number two on your list, see. So, let's think about other ways plus good works, how they may glorify God. How can we glorify God? I've listed five things plus the other. We will never complete a list. So whatever we say, the door is still open. It's not the end. But let's look at three of these this morning. Praising God. Praising God. This glorifies Him. The psalmist. Psalm 22, if you want to make a note of this, to look these up. Psalm 22, verse 23. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify Him and fear Him. All ye the seed of Israel. And I'm convinced that the best way, if you can find a better one, I'll listen to it and we'll try it a time or two. But the best way that the church has found to praise God is through song. Why does every church sing? That's the best way that we've found. Nobody's found a better way yet to praise God or to give glory to God than through the medium of song. We use song and we can express ourselves, some can, in so many different ways through song. Do you know of a better way? Our hymnal has 28 songs listed under testimony and praise. And they're all together, 504 to 532. Look at your hymnal. Up at the top it says testimony and praise. Testimony about God's greatness or God's goodness, God's help to His people. And these are set to music. And we can not only say it, but we can sing it. And I'm sure that Peggy and Kim understand this much better than I do, being able to sing the praises to God. There are many more songs throughout the book that speak of God's attributes are his qualities. And we know that all of God's qualities are good. Even his anger and his wrath is good because where it ends up. Then in the index, there's a special index, there's a alphabetical index, and there's a, look in the back, how many indexes get lost going through them? But there's an index of subjects that the songs refer to or would be grouped under. There's a adoration and praise. Adoration and praise section, and this one contains 49 different titles. 49 different titles. It's back in the index, and some of those that would express adoration and praise to God. Let's see. I get lost in the index of authors and index of topical hymns. A mighty fortress is our God. A fortress. That's protection, is it not? Come, thou almighty King. Our help, O God, our help in ages past. And that's just three out of these 49, if I counted correctly. That was for God. Right by that is adoration and praise for Jesus. 66. 66. Tell us something about praising God. But Psalm 150. Psalm 150 tells us how music in general can be used to praise God. Do you have a Bible there in front of you? Last Psalm. I didn't put a bookmark in, I'm sorry. But Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. We call this a sanctuary. Some churches call it an auditorium or a meeting room, but we call it a sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Where is that? Probably everywhere, but the heavens. Praise Him, why? For His mighty acts. And we read what God has done. We mentioned last week getting the Israelites through the Red Sea and getting the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea. Protecting His own people. And even the drowning of the Egyptians brought glory to God. Praise Him for His mighty acts. What are some of the acts of God? Somebody's just been healed of a serious disease can praise Him for that healing. Somebody's just been comforted by God when they have lost a loved one and experienced God's comfort. That's a mighty act to that person. And they can praise God for that or glorify Him. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. And it continues. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Music. Musical instruments. Praise Him with the psalter and the harp. Praise Him with the harp. The lady from Russia that's working on coming to Nolensville, that the Leonards are working with, the family, the lady plays the harp. And we hope that she can come here and play the harp for us, accompany our music, our singing, and also special music on the harp is so beautiful. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Some churches do get up and dance around, and we're so quiet. Somebody was saying the other day, a Cumberland Presbyterian preacher's wife, but she started out being a Baptist, I think, and he started out being something else, and they moved near a Cumberland Presbyterian church. They started attending, and he started filling the pulpit because they didn't have anybody else, a small country church, and then he went on to respond what he interpreted as a call to the ministry. And he is going through the process now, and I talked with his wife last evening down at Chapel Hill. They live somewhere else. We were all there for a hamburger supper, ice cream supper, whatever you call it. And she said when she didn't say they danced in the Baptist church, but she said she came to a Presbyterian church and somebody was preaching and she wanted to say amen, and she did. And everybody looked at her and she felt like crawling under the pew. So if we danced in the church, they'd think we were a little strange in this church. But in some churches, people get up and do a dance. And then I have been to services, special services, where people did interpretive dancing. And that was meaningful, especially to the person who is offering this to God. Praise Him with tremble, a timbrel, and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Sometimes we can say music is too loud. Go to a church where they're playing a loud pipe organ. Does it bother you sometimes? Those clanging of those cymbals, especially if I'm real close to them. Do we have a cymbal player in the church this morning? A band member? Praise Him with stringed instruments and with organ. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It has to do with music. There are others. Back in Psalm 149, we won't go through it all, but it says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord. And what does it say? A new song. It doesn't say don't sing the old songs, but every once in a while sing a new song. And we are trying to learn some new songs, and we've got a bunch more to learn. And sing a new song and His praise in the congregation of His saints. Praising God. There are other ways to praise God. Somebody described praising God, said, how do you really praise God? And somebody said, just brag on Him. Just brag on Him. Don't tell anything that's not true. Don't tell anything that you can't find in God's Word. But just brag on what He has done. His mighty acts as are recorded in His Word. And then what is He's done for us. What He has done for us. Just tell about it. Bragging in that sense is not exaggerating, not even embellishing. It's just telling the truth about God. Brag on Him. Tell of His attributes. Tell of His qualities. Tell of His characteristics. Praising God. Can you think of Psalm right now? And then, secondly, we glorify God by good works. Our good works lead others to glorify God. In the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, it's chapter 10. It's Ephesians chapter 10. Sorry, turned too far. I'm sorry, there's no Ephesians 10. You knew that. Chapter 2. I don't know if it's my vision or inability to read numbers, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. We're God's workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created to do good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are God's workmen, or we are God's workmanship. He has worked His work of creation, and we are the result of it. And we're created to do good works. And God prepared in advance for us to do. What good works glorify God? What am I talking about when I talk about good works? Well, just to name a few that the church has been involved in for generations. Since Jesus' time and before Jesus' time, feeding the hungry. See, before Jesus' time, the farmer would harvest his wheat. But he wouldn't cut the corners. He would leave the corners. So I guess he would cut corners, but not harvest the corners. And he would leave the corners of the wheat field for the destitute, the poor, to come and glean or to gather their food there. In the story of Ruth, Boaz did not harvest the entire field, and Boaz had an eye for Ruth. He left a little extra for her. The law, God's instruction, was that they just leave a certain amount. They could leave more, but they had to leave a certain amount. Jesus, we find Him feeding 4,000 people at one gathering. In another gathering, He fed 5,000 people. Matthew 25, that chapter that kind of scares us sometimes, but it encourages us. You know, that's the one, the sheep and the goat. The goats haven't done God's will. They haven't done God's will, but this passage, the sheep, encourages us to feed the hungry. Give food to the hungry. Give drink to the thirsty. Taking in the stranger. Giving clothes to the naked. Looking after the sick. And visiting those in prison in Williamson County. We hope that we're covering that and helping some in Davidson County and helping some in some foreign countries. So when we buy a sheep or a goat or something, a camel, somebody said, do they eat camels? I'm sorry?
They don't have any camels.
No camels. They're all gone. Elephants? Okay. So we're going to ship them to wherever they're needed to help feed starving people, and some people are starving. But Grace Works, how many work at Grace Works doing a good work there? Can I? One, two, or three, four? Okay. Thank you for that. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're bringing glory to God. And it really works a lot better if we can think that we're not just folding clothes or putting clothes out or sweeping the floor, but we're doing it for the glory of God. Clothing for the naked, looking after the sick, investing those in prison. Then there is the good work of loving one another, living at peace as much as is in our power. And then, thirdly, bearing fruit. Bearing fruit glorifies God. How do apples and oranges glorify God? Or pears? Well, we're talking about spiritual fruit. But our food can glorify God if we share it. So bearing fruit can glorify God. In John, we read, "Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." Here is my Father glorified, Jesus is speaking, that you bear much fruit. What's He talking about? First, I call your attention to Galatians chapter 5 and 22 and following. There is love. That's spiritual fruit. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. These characteristics in your life. Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. And then the Apostle Peter adds in 2 Peter 1, it's 5 through 7, knowledge. Perseverance. That might be included in what? Faithfulness. Brotherly kindness. Godliness. And Peter here is talking about people of faith. So faith, our faith, that's a gift from God. It's not a fruit that we bear, though, is it? But fruit, spiritual fruit, also refer to new converts, souls saved unto heaven. Souls redeemed by the Lamb. And we share that message of redemption that Jesus provides and offers, and people come and believe and are saved. I call your attention to Luke chapter 15. The loving Father, the rebellious son. He said there is rejoicing over finding a lost coin. First part of Luke chapter 15 talks about losing a coin and searching. And then losing a sheep and searching till they find it. There's rejoicing in heaven over that. That brings glory to God. And when a lost son, a lost human being, is brought to God, restored to his Heavenly Father or her Heavenly Father through faith in Jesus Christ. That's spiritual fruit. And that glorifies God. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come this morning thanking You for the privilege of giving glory to You. Lord, thank You that You want us to. Thank You, Lord, that You think that we are that important, or that we have that ability. But Lord, we know that we have that ability because You have given it to us. Lord, we pray that You will just help us every day to live, to act in such a way that we can give glory to You with our every action. In Jesus' name we offer our prayer. Amen. The song is 17, and I've noted that let's sing 1, 3, and 4. 1, 3, and 4. Can we do that? Number 17. And it's really encouraging us further to be continually glorifying God, proclaiming our Master. 17, stand together.
give you peace. Amen.
Doing Life Together presents a six-session small group Bible study on discipleship. Join us as we explore together growing to be like Christ.
You ever get bugged with the way God set up the world? Don't you wish you could become a Christian and then just live happily ever after? Well, actually, God's got something in mind for all of us far greater and richer than happiness. The difficult thing is, the path to that is often through pain and struggle and heartache.
My journey to joy isn't one that you would wish for your little girl. It was one with a journey of 27 foster homes, group homes. I remember as a little girl being abused a lot and being rewarded with candy bars and quarters. And it's not something that you would wish. When you understand God's joy versus the world's definition of joy, there's no comparison. Because God's joy is what's within yourself. And it's what makes you who you are. And that's when you can use
Together presents a 6-session small group Bible study on discipleship. Join us as we explore together growing to be like Christ.